Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us today. Brian Baldinger will join us at 8:30. Kalena Azubuike in studio from 9 to 10. First time of the year, Kalena is going to join us in studio. So we're looking forward to talking to him about last night's game, tonight's game against Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, and Friday's game against the Clippers, in which we are expected to see the return of one DeMarcus Boogie Cousins. Now, we have a lot to get to today, but we're going to start with this. We need your help. After what happened last night with Klay Thompson throwing down not one, not two, not three, but four dunks, giving him 11 on the season, we have decided we want to start a campaign to get Klay Thompson an invite to the dunk contest. Now, whether or not he chooses to accept the invite, that's up to Klay. But we at least want our guy getting an invite into the contest. So what we did this morning from the at 957 The Game account on Twitter was we shot a tweet over to the NBA. Hey, NBA, how many retweets would it take to get Klay Thompson an invite to the dunk contest? Hashtag substance over style. We need your help retweeting that. We expect the NBA to respond to us at some point because naturally, they're one of the billions, so they're going to have to address it. They don't want to feel the pressure of not addressing it.
Sure.
So let's get this thing moving. Help us with the movement now. If you get the opportunity, go to Twitter, at 957TheGame. Find the tweet. It's one of the first ones up there. Maybe we could pin it at the top of our page, if you boys don't mind, and hit retweet on that thing. Send it out to everybody. Let's turn this into something. Let's get our guy an invite to the dunk contest.
The NBA's response is going to be very predictable, and I'm sure it'll be forthcoming in just moments. And it's simply, thank you. Thank you, Jolo and Dibs, for guiding us correctly to where the dunk contest should evolve. If I asked you right now, who won the dunk contest last year, and what was your fondest memory of the dunk contest? I could play the crickets on a loop until 10 o'clock while we all Googled it, because nobody remembers. Nobody cares. And shout out Aaron Gordon from Midi in San Jose. He's a great dunker, and he's been in the contest. Wow. But I'd be hard-pressed to remember any of the last five dunk contests.
But if they ask
great
you...
Great question, because I don't have...
I hate to put you on the spot, Joe, because...
I have no problem admitting it. This show is about authenticity, after all.
That was good. But if they... Because I was like, man, who did win it?
I mean, did they even have one last year?
Well, it's like, normally I know these.
Yeah. But... No, something's in my throat. Go ahead. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Froggy. But if you ask the question, who should be in it last year, the last 5 years, and who would have won it, it would have been easy. That would have been more of an easy
question. But he steadfastly refuses to participate.
He's
because...
had every chance to do it. He's scared. He's scared. He doesn't want to embarrass himself.
Who's scared?
You know who you're talking about.
No, you guys.
Aren't you talking about LeBron?
Isn't it interesting? I didn't even have to say a name. I just said, if they had a guy the last 5 years, and that's what you guys came
to. Okay, then let me say this. I apologize. Who did you actually mean?
Oh, my God. KD.
I mean, trash.
You want to see KD
he's
in the
long,
dunk contest.
He's lanky. And then him and Westbrook going at it. Think about Westbrook and him having a slam dunk contest. Those two guys in the NBA. That would be
Has
awesome.
Anyone in history ever made the call for Kevin Durant to partake in the
Westbrook?
Dunk contest?
He's no. So, Westbrook's so electric.
They asked him to be in the slim dunk contest, but not the slam dunk contest. Thank you, John.
You guys just, I'm
not
sorry.
Bad.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
good either, but
it wasn't
I know.
Good.
It's out there.
Yeah, you, yeah.
It's out there now.
The slim dunk contest.
Funny when you say it somehow with
no
such derision.
No one's ever called for Durant.
Is Westbrook not electrifying? You love to see that guy?
Well, you said one name. Now all of a sudden you got two names out there.
No, you guys went with LeBron. That was you guys.
I said, that's true.
That's you guys.
That's real. It's real. You
Too
wanted
real.
To talk about the bench to bring this back into something slightly more realistic.
Thank you. It was LeBron. But thank you guys for already
knowing. Yeah, we know.
I know.
It's not as if
LeBron
you are a puzzle
guys.
Wrapped in an enigma.
Surprise, surprise.
Oh, top rope.
Welcome back, Anna. Welcome back.
Thanks.
She just spent the last 20 minutes working on a thermostat, so now back to the program. Great to have you.
Went down to 50 degrees.
You're bundled up
here.
Like it's Alaska.
I am,
like
right?
This is not Sitka. It's
We're
not
We're getting ready
that
for
bad.
Arrowhead on Sunday, Joe. We're trying to get it down to zero.
Is there a blast hovering over the studio right now?
Dude, the vent's right on top of me. I'm shivering. Absolutely freezing. But yeah, the bench, Lo. You were eloquently about to enunciate your bench concerns.
No, I was just wanting to elevate that last night. You got to see a team. You always talk about, hey, when is the bench and when is these guys, Drepko and Sean and everyone, going to step up and give us the minutes that you're looking for? Last night was one of those times. You know, you think about the minutes. You think about the minutes that Steph played, all the guys, the big three, those the three scores, didn't play a lot. Didn't necessarily have to go more than 30. And that just goes to show you that, hey, look, if those guys can step up collectively as a unit, I think that will even – kind of confined to kind of what you talked about, Joe, earlier. You're saying, is it over or under three? And if those guys play better too, and now don't have to have those guys play long stretches, you know, the starting five, and give the bench can come in and give them good minutes and score, that will help your cause even more.
He wasn't on the bench last night, but every time we talk about the bench being thin and whether or not it's going to be a problem for the playoffs, one thing we never mention is Kevon Looney coming off the bench. Looney's a starter currently. But once Boogie comes back and takes a spot in the starting lineup, Looney will essentially be depth on the bench. He'll be one of the guys you can call on. And last night, it's going to be easy to overlook his performance today when talking about that game. But he had 9 points, a career-high 12 rebounds, and 4 assists with just one turnover in 24 minutes. He did exactly what you wanted him to do last night. He played great. And as we continue to talk, well, you know, I don't know about the bench. The second quarter could be a concern. Livingston looked razor sharp last night. Jarebko had a nice outing last
night. Iguodala, 21 minutes.
Iguodala gave you 21 solid minutes. He was plus 22 in those 21 minutes. And if Looney's coming off the bench as a big man to back up Boogie, suddenly I think our concerns about the bench might be a little ill-placed.
Might be, especially when you know that Kevon Looney's coming in the first quarter. So
right.
It's not like he's a starter. He's not really coming in with the, quote, second unit, because DeMarcus is only going to play 4, maybe 5 minutes at a stretch on Friday. So Kevon's going to come in at that six-minute mark. And if he can rebound like he did yesterday,
that was big.
All of a sudden, now Lowe's big concern is offset by the fact that you got Kevon getting double digits.
No question. And Cook played amazing. You think about Cook, you know, playing 14 minutes, 5 of 8, very proficient, 11 bucket. I mean, you won 11 points. That's good. When you can get guys like that to come in and contribute like that, you're cooking in Crisco.
He had that old 11 piece last night.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right, today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. How many games will the Warriors lose in the Western Conference playoffs? Over 3.5 losses or under 3.5 losses? Go to 957thegame.com to vote on that now. We need your help getting Klay Thompson an invite to the dunk contest. We've also got to ask you, if you want to weigh in on last night's game, we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. After last night, are there any concerns left between now and another run at a championship? You've got a chance to win $1,000 in just a couple minutes, but first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, Joe, here's what's coming up. First off, the Warriors take over the West after annihilating the Nuggets in Denver 142-111. Not only did they drop an NBA record 51 points in the first quarter, but Klay Thompson, like you said, monster night with the career high 4 dunks. And we are campaigning to get Klay in the dunk contest. Go to 957 The Game Twitter page, retweet our tweet, and use the hashtag #SubstanceOverSell. And we'll talk to someone who dunked over Kobe, Kalena Azubuike. He will be in studio today at 9 a.m. The Doves are back at it tonight against the Pelicans. Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 6, and no winner in Warriors Trivia Takedown, so the pot is now up to $600. Boogie is also officially out for tonight. He is still on track, though, to debut Friday against the Clippers. And remember, you can catch all the NFL Conference Championship games this Sunday here on 95.7 The Game. Your home for the NFL playoffs. Rams face the Saints in the NFC Championship. Coverage starts at 11, followed by the Patriots at the Chiefs kickoff at 3:40. And still to come, NFL Network's Brian Baldinger will join the show this morning at 8:30. I'm Anna Kagadakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Substance over style, you feel me?
This Sunday, 4 teams enter. Only 2 will survive. Starting at noon, Drew Brees and the high-flying Saints host Bay Area native Jared Goff and the LA Rams.
And it's Jared Goff who ran it on the bootleg.
Then, Tom Brady and the Patriots. Patriots try to hold off Pat Mahomes and the pending Kansas City Blizzard. You can only hear conference championship action on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our very dunkable listening audience, because we love you. Because it's a Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, because we need your help. More on that in a little bit, but we are trying to score Klay Thompson an invite to the 2019 NBA Dunk Contest. Our Twitter page has the request up to the NBA. We're basically asking them how many retweets we need to get that invite. So let's get the ball rolling before they respond. 957 The Game on Twitter. It's a pinned tweet. It's right at the top of the page. Just hit retweet on that bad boy. Link your friends in there. Link Steph in there. We get a couple big retweets, like the big fellow Lorenzo Neal, the famous people.
Oh, yeah.
The people who really carry what we like to call gravitas.
Oh, yeah.
Gravitas. We can get this thing done. That's the goal. Just the invite. If Klay wants to say no, yeah, that's fine.
I like it, Joe.
We're not trying to push him into the contest. We just want the very dunkable Klay Thompson to have an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
To take his talents to the dunk contest.
He could be the first ever to win the three-point shootout and the dunk contest in the same weekend. And Joe, initially when you had this great idea, one of your many, one of the billions of great ideas, I thought, Joe, this one, I think you might have gone too far.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about who won the dunk contest last year, and so I looked it up, Donovan Mitchell. Not exactly a high flyer, and so I decided, I wonder if I'm just sleeping on Donovan Mitchell as a dunker, and maybe I'm not aware of just how much he dunks. I looked at the dunk stats for this year,
yeah,
and you know how many dunks he has, Lo? He's got 11 dunks, the exact same number as one Klay Thompson. Klay's got 11. The defending 11. Slam dunk champ has 11.
We got
so
something.
Why the heck not?
We got something.
Let Klay dunk.
He's got something.
Hashtag substance over style. Now, we'll have for you on this, but if you get an opportunity today, at 957 The Game on Twitter, just go ahead and retweet that thing. Like it. Do whatever you can to help the cause. And then, of course, T-shirts will be made. A campaign will be put forth. We'll turn this thing into, you know, the typical clown show that we turn things into.
Of course. Of course.
Substance over style.
There it is, baby. Substance over style. You feel me? As always, you can weigh in on the Chilton Auto Body text line here at 95795. And 1 hour from now, another opportunity for you to qualify for a chance to win a golden ticket to come in here on Friday, January 25th, to watch The Agony of Defeat, the 15-minute foot massage that Dibs will perform on Lo. So hang tight.
I'm excited.
Every day this week, five people are qualifying via a trivia question at 8:20 in the morning. Last night, fantastic game. I'm wondering if there are any concerns out there, right? Here's what we naturally do. And it's not just this show, it's everybody. We watch the Warriors play a big game against insert quality opponent here, Toronto, Denver early in the season, the Lakers on Christmas Day, Houston just recently. The Warriors go out, and some way, shape, or form, they find an avenue with which to suffer a defeat. We come in the next day, and we express concern. We express a little bit of trepidation as to whether or not this team has what it takes to once again claim victory at the end of June. Why can't we come in today and eliminate all those concerns? People want to say, well, it's just one game. It's just one game. You can't overreact. I want to overreact. That game was awesome last night. They were as locked in as we've seen all year. Kevin Durant after the game. Hey, Kevin, was this a statement?
Nah, I think they know who we are.
Yeah. I think they know who we are. You got two more matchups, both taking place at Oracle later this year. If you're Denver, you were the one seed, and you had them coming in, and you had already beaten them earlier this year. What are you thinking right now? Do you still think you are a championship-caliber team?
You think so. Yeah, absolutely do. But whether or not you showed it last night, it's a whole different story. And if you're Denver and Michael Malone, he gets the guys together today and says, you know what, we'll go ahead and throw that one away because that's not who we are. The Warriors were so unbelievably white hot. Steve Kerr was talking about a fireworks show in the first quarter, and he's right, with just explosions left and right. If you're Denver and you feel like you have a chance to beat the Golden State Warriors, you know the game's going to be in the low 100. So you give up 51 in the first quarter, you can go ahead and write that one off because you're not going to win a high-scoring shootout with Golden State the way Denver's constructed low.
No, you're not. And Denver's going to realize, they're going to say, hey, look, do you think this team can score 50? Say, guys, what we saw last night is not usually the rule. That usually doesn't happen. 50. Guys, we shot 49%. That is a friggin' unbelievable percentage, and we still got motorboated. That is not going to happen. We'll take our chances with that. Let's just chalk that one up that the Warriors got us. Let's chalk it up.
What do you think the rest of the NBA is thinking either last night or this morning in the wake of that game? Not everyone watched it because these guys live lives and some of them were playing last night. But by and large, you have a Lakers team without LeBron that almost lost to the lousy Bulls last night and recently lost to the Cavaliers. You've got an OKC team that went to Atlanta and got throttled by an up-and-coming Hawks team. You have a Minnesota Timberwolves team that was feeling light and fuzzy coming off the Thibodeau firing, and they went to Philadelphia and got beat by 40. You got a Boston team that's trying to find its way. Everybody, including the Warriors, has gone through their fair share of tough times this year. But were you not put on notice if you are any of the other 29 teams? Were you not put on notice last night?
You had to be an Durant, and you think about what his comments was. Well, was that a good game? He goes, they know who we are. I mean, what does that mean? That means they know who we are. We're the champs.
Right.
And when you make a statement like that, that was powerful. He was to the point. He wasn't holding back dibs. He was like, they know who we are.
No, I think they know who we are.
I think they know who we are.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Right. We don't need to make no statement. And so the rest of the NBA understands who this team is, too. They understand, as far as talent-wise, this might be the best talent in the NBA. We've seen that. But is it the best team? That's what we've been arguing this whole year.
I think it's kind of the Usain Bolt thing for me, because over the course of 8 or so years, you know you weren't going to beat Usain Bolt. If he's at his best, you have no chance. He's the only guy to run under 9.6 in the 100-meter dash. So if he comes out and he's in form and he's motivated and he wants to win the race, there's pretty much no chance you have of winning because no one else has gone 9.6. Now, if he has an off night and he runs a 9.8 and you're one of the other sprinters, whether it's Gaines or Powell or whoever, you might have a chance to beat him on those nights. But the Warriors last night, that was Usain Bolt running 9.58 and absolutely motorboating the competition.
That game last night was Patriots Chargers just played on a hard court in Denver 4 days later.
Yeah.
It's exactly what that was. There was an up-and-coming team that had had a lot of success and had a big public movement behind him. Right? The Chargers 7-1 on the road. People really liked them coming off the Thursday night win at Kansas City. People really liked them coming off the Baltimore win. Watch out, New England. You're old, you're slow, you don't have it anymore. People just overlooking the Patriots left and right. People this year, Mike Francesa in New York saying that the run for the Warriors is done. Guys left and right shoveling dirt onto the casket. Steph Curry even talking about that the other day. And yet, here you go last night. The Patriots 4 days ago smack the Chargers, 14-7 after one, 35-7 at the half, game over. The Warriors last night putting together a quarter of basketball that I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that ever again. We say that from time to time about what this team does. Inside the numbers of that first quarter, first and foremost, 51 points. That has never happened in the first quarter in NBA history. It was the fifth time in franchise history the Warriors scored 50 or more in a quarter. Inside that 50-point first quarter, which we haven't seen a 50-point first quarter in the NBA since November of 1990 when the Suns did it to the Nuggets, believe it or not, the Warriors shot 19 of 25, 10 of 14 from deep, 15 assists. There are teams that don't have 15 assists in a game. There are teams that do not hit 10 threes in a game. This is all still the opening 12 minutes and just one turnover. And every single Warrior star was involved. KD had 17 points and 5 assists in the opening quarter. Klay scored 13 points on just 6 shots. Steph knocked down 4 threes. That was in just one quarter of work last night. I don't think we will ever see anything like that ever again.
Right. And Joe, and that's what the rest of the NBA's got to be saying. You got to look for something. What is going to give them hope? And the rest of the NBA, they're going to say, is it possible for this team to do it again? It's possible, but is it probable? And more than likely, you would have to say no. You would have to say, yeah, it is possible, but not probable. So when you look at it like that, I think that's what gives the rest of the NBA hope. And the rest of the league is saying, look, we've seen this team get motorboated by 20. to lesser teams. You talked about the Lakers, a team that didn't even have LeBron, lose by 20. So, yeah, has not the performance yield us the right to compare or to talk and not in a positive light about this Warrior team with the inability to be consistent? Hasn't this season been that way, been volatile at times that we had to, when you see the greatest player, top three players in the NBA and the association and KD and Draymond going at it? Hasn't this merit us to have some reason for his concerns? And tonight, last night, was that perfect storm that we've been waiting for.
Right, and it's kind of the culmination of what they've done over the past 15, Lowe, because they were sitting at 19-10, fairly mediocre, and now they've won 11 of the past 15. And part of that was Steph coming back and getting healthy, and KD and Draymond working beyond whatever happened that night against the Clippers. And I think most importantly, Klay Thompson now, if you look over the course of his last 7 or 8 games, he's really starting to shoot it like the Klay we've all known for his entirety of his career with the Golden State Warriors.
30 or more in 4 of his last 8. 30 or more in 4 of his last 8. He hadn't topped 30 in any of the previous 15.
Right, and the percentages, the shooting percentages, the three-point percentage, and you see the joy back from Klay Thompson. Not only the dunks and the raising of the roof, but him going to the rim and playing with a little bit more of that freedom and that bounce. And when Klay's having fun, and when he's acting like Klay does, raising the roof, making a move from 30 years ago, and you see the entire bench cracking up, and then you told the story about the locker room, them seeing the highlight and laughing again. Those sorts of things have a positive carryover effect to the next game, which, oh, by the way, is tonight.
5 straight wins for the Dubs. They've won 15 of 20. They just snapped Denver's 12-game home winning streak. That was the best home team in the association. They were 18-3 entering last night's matchup. The Warriors scored 142 points and took 10 free throw attempts. 10 free throw attempts for the Warriors last night, and they still found a way to hang 142 on the board. I've never seen anything like that. I'm not saying it's not out there, but you're watching that game last night, you're thinking, all right, suffering through the second half of that Houston game a couple weeks ago, the Laker game, a lot of these games where it's like, damn, right, what is going on with these guys? That was incredible. Incredible what they did to Denver last night. Kevin Durant scores 3 more points, and it's the first time in the Klay, Steph, KD era that all three go for 30. But what are you going to do? You're not going to put him out there for 40 minutes. And you know who we haven't even mentioned yet? Draymond Green was plus 41 in 31 minutes.
Wow.
In the 31 minutes he was on the court, the Warriors outscored Denver by 41 points.
Yeah, it looked like they got that mojo back. You know how Stella got her groove back?
Oh,
this
is
the Warriors. How they got that groove
Angela Bassett.
My goodness. She was looking like a beast in that movie. You think about the way the team moved the ball around, Dibs. It was like poultry in motion. You got to see the ball just flowing. Guys did not let the ball stick. They played with a purpose. You see not a lot of one-on-one basketball. They pushed the pace. I mean, that's the kind of game that you wanted to see. You saw the excitement. This is a team, when they're playing like that, free-spirited, but moving the ball, it's not sticking. It's not the one-on-one, a bunch of bouncing. It's just boom, boom, boom. The ball's moving from angle to angle to side to side, all the different passes. And when it's moving like that, guys can't get set. Guys are running out to the three-point line. And what does old Klay do? He pump fakes, and he goes right to the hole because guys are scrambling, trying to get in those lanes because of the fact the ball is moving so much that guys can't get there, and it caused some free lanes to the basket. And you saw him last night. Fast break, the pace, the tempo. KD takes the ball down the court, and you think he's going to take it? Throws it across the Klay's in the corner, had an easy layup, but no, he says, no, I'm not going to take the two guys on. I'm going to kick it over to Klay, who's already down. Boom, set, draws, butter. So it was just really, really nice to see, Daniel.
Yeah, and when you see Klay,
you
got super excited.
Really, really excited.
Almost guru level of excitement. You see Klay shooting the three early, and what did you see in the second half? Denver starts to come out to overplay the pass.
Yes!
Backdoor cut, dunk. Backdoor cut, layup. And that's the Warriors using their basketball IQ and knowing that Denver's coming out to try to take away the three after giving up 51 in the first quarter, and Klay goes backdoor and gets to the rim and gets those dunks. And, you know, Denver's defense normally better, but on last night's game, I think more credit goes to the Warriors' efficiency than you blame Denver's defense for being bad.
Absolutely. Oh,
wow, that's a crazy tough five right there. Perhaps
was that a
more
double?
No, still one foul.
Perhaps more than anything else that stands out one of the big struggles they've had this season is even when they play well in the first half, Dubcon 3 has been non-existent. We saw that on display in the Houston game. You're crushing the Rockets at Oracle. Everyone's having a good time. And then they come out and they punch you right in the face in the third. And you never really respond to the point where you end up losing that game via a hardened dagger late. Last night, they had a 19-point lead at the half. They had every reason to go out in the third and just kind of protect the lead. Just protect it. No one's saying you need to have a great third quarter like we saw in game 6 and 7 against the Rockets last year. Just protect the lead. They still went out and scored 33 points and won the quarter by 10, moving the lead from 19 to 29. That's what jumped out at me more than anything else last night, is that that's been the biggest issue, one of the biggest issues in my eyes all season. They'll show you they can play well, but they haven't strung it together for four quarters. They'll come out, they'll get on you, and then they'll go to the half and they'll realize, all right, we got it. We got it. It doesn't matter if we win or lose this game. We're going to go on and we're going to win the title, but we still got it. Last night, they found a way to put it together. Last night, they wanted to put it together. I don't think Steve Kerr needed to get on him at the half and jump all over him about being motivated. I think these guys went into that game last night on a mission. Durant can say, the rest of them can say all they want. It wasn't about making a statement. That's fine. But that was a statement. Whether you set out to make one or not, that was absolutely a statement to the Denver Nuggets.
And the statement was made earlier in the week when Steve Kerr decided to move his rotation back to what it used to be, which is KD and Steph playing together. 12 minutes in the first quarter, they played the entire quarter together. Third quarter, same thing. Steph and KD on the court for 12 minutes in the entirety of the third quarter. So as much as the entire team played great, I think that shift back to the old rotation of having those two on the floor together, instead of staggering the minutes, which they experimented with for the course of about a week or a week and a half, with DeMarcus Cousins coming back, the rotations are going to be different, but it looks like Steph and KD are now going to play together all through that first quarter, all through that third quarter again, which when those two are both playing at that level, they're already an unbelievable team. But when you throw in a hot Klay Thompson,
oh my goodness,
that's where you can, you can't imagine any other team beating this team four times in a series.
No, you're absolutely right, Dibs and Joe. But I look at this team and you got to say, you know, the little kid book that you used to read back in the day, the turtle and the hare, and you always, you knew that friggin' the rabbit could beat the turtle any day of the week. And it's like, how could that ever happen to the rabbit? Well, because he let the turtle get so far out there in head, and he thought he was going to win. This team, tell me when is it not safe? We're always thinking, here come the Warriors. They're just playing possum. Here's DEFCON 3. Here's the third quarter. There are so much that there are so much like the rabbit, and the other teams are the turtle. And you think we're so far, even though we're behind and in the standings and all this stuff, everyone knows that this team, because of its firepower, how fast they can do it, how fast they can run, all those different things, we always think that they're safe. And last night, they didn't play that game. They didn't play their possum. They said, let's go out here and let's dominate. Let's go be the Warriors. Let's go be who we are on a consistent basis. Let's stop playing this, you know, okay, we'll play when we want. We'll let them get a lead. We'll let teams think they belong. That's what you want to see from a championship team. And last night, we got to see it.
They look like the Chiefs at the absolute best the Chiefs have played this
year.
Guys just running free.
Right.
How often did you see Steph get into position, didn't even hesitate, pulled up, bang, yak him. Klay getting into position, pump fake Jokic right to the rack, dunk on him. Never had four in a game. Said four dunks in the game last night, more impressive than knocking down 10 three-pointers in a game. Durant, once again, if I was to ask you what was the most impressive thing about last night's game, you'd probably lead with Klay. Then you'd start talking about Steph. You might mention Draymond going plus 41 in 31 minutes.
Amazing.
Durant scored 27 points on 11 of 15 shooting. He's shooting 52% from the floor this year. 27 points, 11 of 15 in 30 minutes. It doesn't even get mentioned. Any other team in the NBA, their star player does that, and that's kind of your lead. Man, Durant played really great last night. Look at how efficient he was. It's like the third or fourth or eighth story this morning for no other reason than the fact that they looked that good in action last night. The question now becomes, how do they look tonight? You wrap that game up. You've got to meet with the media. You've got to shower up. You've got to pack. You've got to take a 45-minute trip to the airport.
At least.
Board a plane. You got to fly back to the
Bay
Area. You've got to play tonight at Oracle against New Orleans, and then you're going to start a 5-game roadie Friday. Clippers, Lakers, I think it's then Wizards, Celtics, Pacers. More on that later, but how do you perform tonight? Anthony Davis and the Pelicans are in town. The Warriors are 7-point favorites. Over-under on this game, 241.5. Defense optional, apparently.
Is that the first half over-under?
First quarter.
Yeah. They're 7-point favorites?
7-point favorites tonight against the Pelicans. No Boogie Cousins, set to return Friday. More on that in just a bit. But how do you perform in this game? There is a bit of history here. Early in the season, the last time the Warriors played the Nuggets in Denver, they lost that game by 2. They boarded a plane. They flew home. They played Phoenix the next night. They won 123-103. They had a 20-point win over the Suns. Now, the Suns, not exactly worthy competition, but the Warriors have faced this scenario before. It helps that the stars barely played 30 or more minutes. Klay only played 25 last night. But New Orleans is going to be coming for you.
Yeah, they
are. It's a get-up game for them like it is for everybody in the association.
It really is, and this is that night that you just say, you know what, let's keep it going. Let's keep the party started. Let's not even lay off, and I think that's what you want to see from the Warriors. I think my MVP this year, clearly, guys, I talked about this guy, and I was very disappointed once free agency started this year, Daniel. You know I was, and there were things, statements I make a lot, and a lot of times I throw it out there, and people laugh and call me all kinds of names. But I thought it was unjust, and I thought Looney probably should feel the same way. I thought Looney was a guy that fundamentally watching him play and watching him develop last year, and now you fast forward to this year, he looks good. The guy, yeah, is he a game changer? No. But is he a consistent player? Does he give you good minutes? Is he solid? Does he fundamentally block? Does he get rebounds? Is he just another good, solid piece? I think Looney is really, really improving his game. This is a guy that you look at and you say, wow, I'm glad he's on our team because of the things that he brings to the table. You look at rebound last night, 12, and I think you're
career high.
Yeah, and he's going to play well again tonight. Why? He knows this guy by the name of Boogie Cousins is coming back into the lineup. He understands where he's going to go. You don't think that Kerr and the coaching staff and Ron Adams is saying, hey, look, you got a role here, son. You're always going to have a role. We're going to need you. When that second unit, like you alluded to earlier, when he's called upon to do these things, Looney is going to be a building block for this team and this organization. You got to love what he brings to the table, Daniel.
6 offensive rebounds is what stands out to me last night. He had the 12, which is a career high, but 6 sure. on the offensive glass. A lot of times defensive rebounds are a lot easier because if it's a 3-ball, the other team's more likely to want to get back. They don't want to totally crash the boards. Offensive rebounds take work. They take early work. It's about positioning. It's about fighting on the glass and keeping those possessions alive. So it's more about attitude and hard work than it is about just being a big guy in the right spot. So the fact that he had 6 offensive rebounds, and I know some of those came in the fourth quarter, which was
Understood.
Not even garbage time. It was dumpster time when you're up by 30 on the road like
Sewer
that.
Time. But do you like the guy?
Totally.
You like what he's bringing to
I
the
I love
team.
Him. And the thing I like most about him, Lowe, is that when he goes to the bench, he played last night 23 minutes. He's probably going to be in that 15 to 18 minute range for the most part, but you know what he's going to give you.
Right.
He's not a guy who needs the ball. He's going to rebound. He can defend 1 through 5. He's a great role player, and to
yes.
have him in that second unit, and you think about the second quarter, he'll be on the floor. DeMarcus Cousins will probably come back in for his second stint during that time, but he's a guy who fits in with the first team as well as the second team.
The big concern throughout the course of the year, the Warrior bench, what's going to happen come playoff time? The Warrior bench this, the Warrior bench that. First and foremost, you don't use the bench all that much at crunch time. Games 5, 6, and 7 against Houston, it was the starters playing 40 minutes, right? Houston tightened up to like a 6-man rotation for the final 2 games in that series. But when you go to the bench, you want to feel comfortable that they're going to be able to help preserve leads in the second quarter. If Looney... The one thing no one remembers is or thought about was the fact that when Boogie comes back, Looney moves to the bench. So you take a guy with plenty of starter experience this season, you move him to the bench, he's coming off with guys like Iguodala, guys like Livingston, who played very well last night, and suddenly that second unit, Jonas Jerebko, all those guys, it starts to look a hell of a lot more formidable than anyone gave them credit for. Now we're going to talk to Kalena Azubuike about that starting at 9 a.m. this morning. Buki is in studio with us for the first time this calendar year. He's going to be in for the whole hour, so we'll talk to him about last night's first quarter. We'll talk to him about tonight's game against the Pelicans and how concerned we should be about whether or not the Warriors can keep the mojo moving. Friday night, the return of Boogie Cousins, all that good stuff. We're also going to talk to him about this.
Rebound tipped out by Draymond. Klay Thompson gets it left side. Dribbles in and dunked it with a right hand. Bounce pass to Jokic. Hand off to Murray. Stolen by Klay Thompson. Murray went the other way. Klay, fast break. Goes in and dunks it with a right hand.
He was excited. He was raising the roof on his fourth dunk. And I'm pretty sure he's texted Zaza already in there. I don't know if they have another bet this year. Probably. But Klay was more excited about that than he was his 14 threes in Chicago. Honestly, he's so happy right there.
He's excited about those. Probably his last four dunks of the year, though.
Felt great. I don't think I've ever done that. I haven't done it in high school. And even in high school, I was probably leaking out, cherry picking. So that was nice, man. I felt better hitting 10 threes, you know.
They tell him they got to be a little prettier?
Yeah, they kind of greased, he greased those in. He's 6'7". He should be jumping a little higher than that.
Substance over style. You feel me?
That's why nice. He's the best. Klay Thompson last night, 27 points, or excuse me, 31 points on 13 of 19 shooting, but it's the four dunks, the career high four dunks in 25 minutes that are all the rage this morning. Klay last night after the game, Anthony Slater from The Athletic has this great article up, the five observations from last night. And one of them was what it was like in the locker room. Afterwards, the guys are showering, they're meeting with the media, they're grabbing something to eat, they're packing their bags, and on the TVs in the locker room was the NBA. It was supposed to be showing the Laker-Chicago game, but it was at the half, so it was a highlights package. And it showed the fourth dunk by Klay Thompson, where he started raising the roof right after, and the locker room, according to Slater, just erupted in laughter. Naturally, Klay didn't know what was going on. He was on the other side of the room doing something else. So he turns around and he asks what happened. Everyone goes nuts. Fantastic stuff. But pay attention to this. Klay Thompson was asked all about this after the game. This is a 1 minute exchange with reporters. It is absolutely hilarious. Klay Thompson on the dunks that rocked Mile High.
What do you think of your four dunks?
Man, felt great. I don't think I've ever done that. Haven't done it since high school. And even in high school, I was probably leaking out, cherry picking. So that was nice, man. I felt better than hitting 10 threes, to be honest.
Did you get a chance to talk some trash with Zaza? Or?
Yeah, he texted me right after the game. So he's never seen me have four dunks. I told him I've never seen him. I don't know. I said something good. He was right there to let me know that he saw the bounce for once.
You know what the dunk counter between you two is?
I got to be winning this year.
I believe it's 11-1.
Ha! Good. I want to text him that right now, actually.
Kitty was, I think, joking, but he was saying that you need more style in your dunks.
I do, but it's about efficiency. Substance over style. You feel me? You have one dunk. I have 11 this year. Pay me.
Next question.
Next question.
Pay me.
There are like 20 great sound bites in there. 20 great sound bites. He was throwing it down from start to finish last night. That gives him how many on the season?
He's got 11, Joe. He's got 11. Zaza's got one. And as I mentioned earlier, defending slam dunk champion Donovan Mitchell also has 11. So that's the bar that you need. If you have 11 or more dunks, and I believe Klay and Donovan, Ekpe Udo, Harrison Barnes, by the way, also with 11. Shout out former Warriors. They are all tied for 148th in the NBA in dunks. I believe Rudy Gobert leads the way with about 150 or so, wow, if numbers serve. So Klay's got to be there, Joe.
Here's where we need your help. We decided this morning that we want to land Klay Thompson an invite to this year's dunk contest. Now, we're saying invite because if Klay wants to turn it down, Klay, you do you. But we want you to have the opportunity to showcase substance over style in this year's dunk contest. So here's what we've decided. Go to Twitter at 957thegame. It's our pinned tweet. It's right at the top of the page. Essentially, we're shouting out the NBA. Hey, NBA, how many retweets would it take to score Klay Thompson an invite to the 2019 dunk contest? Hashtag substance over style. We want to bombard the NBA with retweets before they can even give us a number, so that when they do give us a number, we can eventually hit it and we can get our guy an invite to the dunk contest. Now, again, if Klay turns it down, no big deal. We're not interested in anything that happens after that. We just want him to have the opportunity, but we need your help. This is where we call on the billions to flex. Go to 957thegame on Twitter, at 957thegame. It's the first tweet. Just hit retweet on that bad boy. Link in your friends. Link in your countrymen. hit like on it. Do whatever you want to do, but just get this thing moving so that we can secure Clay an invite to the dunk contest. I think we have the juice to pull this off. I think the NBA is going to see this. They're going to realize it's a great idea to have him involved. And again, the billions. This is an opportunity to flex.
Yes, the billions can stand up and help us out in this great cause. And it's funny when you listen to Clay's comments there, and he's talking about Zaza having, quote, seen the bounce. He saw the bounce as well. Let America see the bounce, because Clay showed you the bounce last night. He may not be up there at the top of the square throwing it straight down, but he cocked one of them back with a little bit of flair. He probably would have gotten a 7 or 7.5 at the dunk contest on that one.
He saw the bounce.
You saw the bounce.
At 957 the game on Twitter. Hit retweet on that thing. We'd love for you to support this. We want to get this thing moving as quickly as possible. Roy Martinez. Roy, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, guys. It's retired Roy from Martinez. Hey, listen. Last night, I saw a couple things that really surprised me, aside from the fact that they crushed them. That was the fact that in the first quarter, I was watching everybody feeding Looney the ball. I mean, it was like they really realized now how important a piece he is. And not only that, well, of course, there's the dunks, but the fact that I believe that this was not just a statement. This was like a banner to the league that says, if we really want it, we're going to take it. They're in first place. Tonight, they've got to crush them again to stay in first place. And basically, last night was a Rocky Mountain high.
Thank you, retired Roy.
It's always such an enthusiastic uptick.
The greatest. Fantastic. I heard the bounce, Roy, from you right there. You can hear the bounce in his call.
This morning, we were having a conversation about the Western Conference playoff picture. Obviously, we're just past the midway point. The All-Star game is right around the corner in a couple weeks, but one of the indicators for me of a quality team is their ability to go on the road and win games. You see that especially in the NFL. The Chargers this year, 7-1 on the road. Doesn't mean they're the best team in the NBA, but it's not a surprise they found their way into the divisional playoffs and had success against Baltimore. Road wins are very important. Case in point, the 49ers. They had some nice wins this season. Yeah, they had some nice wins. They had a nice little season, but at the end of the day, you wouldn't put them in the category of the top half of the NFL because they were 0-8 on the road. Yeah. They couldn't figure it out. That's somewhere where they need to improve. Right now in the Western Conference, I'm scratching my head. There are three teams with winning road records. The Dubs, the Nuggets at 11-10 on the road, the Thunder at 12-11 on the road. Every other team in the conference has a losing record. Houston's 9-12 on the road, Portland 8-12, the Clippers 10-11, the Spurs 7-14. And I'm trying to figure out where the biggest threat comes from. This led into a conversation of what would be the ultimate three-series run to the NBA Finals. We were trying to piece together, if we could pick any three teams in the West that the Warriors would face on their way to the Finals, what would you want to see? And the number, we'll bring you guys in on this, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. You can construct this matchup any way you want. Some would probably rather see the three easiest matchups on the board, get them to the Finals in 12 games, 12-0 record, boom, that's fine. Others might want to see a challenge. Others might want to see a matchup-by-matchup specific basis based on excitement. But what would be the three matchups you would want to see? First round, second round, Western Conference Finals. Don't worry about the finals, not part of the conversation. What would be the three you would want to see? 888-957-9570. In addition, right now the Jazz are tied for eighth, but they lose the tiebreaker. You can include the Jazz.
Yeah.
It's not based on the teams that are currently the top eight. You can use any teams in the West. 888-957-9570. Dibs, you've put a lot of thought into this. You've done some thinking, quality thinking. What'd you come up with?
A lot of time in the thinking chair, actually, to get this one done. Pretty much any team but the Suns would count, because Memphis at 14th in the West, Joe, they're only four games behind the Lakers. So they're very much in the race for that eighth and final playoff spot. For me, it would be great to have the opening series be against the Sacramento Kings. If the Kings could get the eight, Warriors get the one. Let's see if this Northern California rivalry has any teeth to it. And you can imagine those games being 148, 145, real thriller up and down. Second series, give me the Lakers, LeBron James. I don't necessarily want that to be the conference final, because I think ultimately, if you ended up going up against Houston, that still is the best possible matchup. James Harden, a guy who's a threat to go for 60 points at any possible moment. He's got the step back daddy. I still want to see Houston in the Western Finals, so I would go Kings, then Lakers, then Rockets as my three.
Kings, Lakers, Rockets.
Kings, Lakers, path. Rockets.
Fun path, no doubt. What are you thinking?
I would like to see the Clippers first. It's an L.A. team, a team that they've always had some success, and, you know, so I want to see that one. You just want to see them take down an L.A. team. And the next would be, without a doubt, I would like to see the Sacramento, this young team. So now you get two teams that people like, two California teams, especially Sacramento, the second round. For me, that would be great for Warriors basketball. Those are the two.
And then the finals, of course.
It would be the Lakers. It really would be. Not just for...
So California.
The Cali trio, I like that.
Easy road trips right there.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
I think if you look at it, I mean, we talk about Houston. Yeah, James Harden, one thing, okay, you got him, but you got to know that who's going to move the needle for that. And if you look at the Lakers and LeBron's not playing, they were the fourth seed. The guy stops playing, they drop to the eighth. When he comes back, you know things are going to change. We understand that. But now if you get to see that in the Western Conference final, think about that. California, the buzz would be, the ratings would be through the roof.
Yeah.
The Rockets, come on. You'd rather see the Lakers in that position and LeBron against this team. It would be great.
Not me, but I know where you're coming from. And it's interesting you say that because the Lakers would have had to beat OKC or Houston or San Antonio or Denver, whatever other teams the Lakers would have had to beat. They would be more legit at that point.
They'll go through that. And they with LeBron being back, they will. If you think about, even if they do happen to play the Rockets that everyone looks at and fears, if you think about the Rockets, okay, Capella, unbelievable. But you got two centers that are play his type of ball, that can ball with him, McGee, and you think about the old Tyson Chandler. Those are two guys that are going, in my opinion, going to play him well. If you think about Kuzma, how he can get out, and especially Ingram, how they're long and they can get out and play the way that they do, they have some guys that would give the Rockets problems in a series. So when we're just going to dismiss them, I think it's very foolish of us to just say, oh, the Lakers are going to be the eighth seed. And
No one's dismissing them.
I'm just telling you.
I had them in the conference semis.
The team is going to get better. They are going to be a threat in the West.
Yeah, we can discuss this on Tuesday after the Warriors motorboat the Lakers again.
I want the Lakers in the first round. I want that to be the first round for two reasons. Number one, I've had enough of these dogs coming into the first round doing nothing. Last year it was the Spurs. That whole series was, let's just get this thing over with. There was no excitement whatsoever, and a lot of that's the Spurs' fault because they bring no style to the table at all. Get them out of the equation. I don't want to see the Spurs in any round at any point this year. They are too boring. Enough's enough. For years, we had to hear, well, you know, you got to worry about the Spurs.
Well,
biggest threat in the Western Conference. No, they're not. They've never been a threat since the Warriors started this run. So keep the Spurs out of the equation. The Portland matchup, those were boatings. The New Orleans matchup at the beginning, those were boatings. I want the Lakers in the first round for excitement. But then I also want the Lakers in the first round because the Warriors will sweep them out of the playoffs.
Oh, I love it.
And to watch LeBron and the Lakers get their teeth kicked in through four games. The big storyline after that series is, wow, James is really going to need some help. James is really going to need some help to get past these guys.
Is it over for LeBron in L.A.?
Bit off more than he could chew.
Hey, newsflash. Anybody the Warriors play, everyone say he's going to need some help. So for you guys to say that, you're wrong.
Yeah, but I'm not trolling you.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with you.
Oh, I
know that you like setting up the Lakers thing, and maybe he's coming at you.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with your prediction. I love the fact that LeBron came into the Warriors' backyard. I love the fact that he's playing with the Lakers. I think you bit off more than you can chew. And if you're going to come into this state, and you're going to come into the Western Conference, and you think you're going to put something together to knock our guys off, I'd like to see it in the first round. I'd like to see you get beat pillar to post in the first round through four games because you know the Dubs lock in for that.
Oh, yeah.
The Dubs don't donk one off to the Lakers. The Dubs send the message in games one and two. Then they go down to L.A. in games three and four. You hammer James and the Lakers and say, bye-bye. It was nice seeing you in the finals. Apparently, we won't have to encounter you in June this year. Now we're actually eliminating you in April. Forget about May and forget about June. We're going to knock you out at the end of April. So enjoy the extra months on the banana boat. Have fun. Go recruit whoever you want to recruit. Yeah. You're out of here. Your little 8-game streak or 8-year streak of going to the finals, you didn't even get to the second round, son. So figure it out from there. I think that's a great way to start the playoffs.
Who are your other two then after that?
Second round, don't care. Third round, OKC. I want Durant to win in OKC against Westbrook and Paul George in front of those fans so they can all hug and celebrate on their way to the NBA Finals. Put anyone in the second round. I don't care.
Can I give you Denver? Can I pencil you in for Denver?
It'd be nice to see Denver or maybe a Utah. I'd like to see someone new to keep it fresh. If it's the Kings, they can make it that far. I'd love to see that matchup, but I'm not really going to hold my breath there. I'm going to try to keep this somewhat realistic. Yeah. I don't want to see the Clippers. Portland's got nothing. You win a 3 seed last year and you get swept out by New Orleans. I'm not going to give you a lot of credit. Houston, I'm over that. I don't think Houston had their shot last year. You don't get another shot at the title. They gave you one a few years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
They met in the playoffs 3 times. How many opportunities do you get?
I'm tired of seeing that, too.
And Frazier had to win one against Ali to get to the third.
Can I get you into a Minnesota, Joe?
That'd be fine, but they'll cry. They got nothing. Yeah. I don't care who the second round's against. I want to see them kick LeBron's teeth in the first round because I think that's a great storyline, and it gets everybody amped up for the playoffs right away this year. And I think it puts the Warriors on notice at the beginning. I think it has them ready to rock and roll. No donking off. Right from the go,
no donkage.
You have to lock in. And I think that means something on the course of the playoffs. Second round, like I said, it could be anybody. Third round, I want to see OKC get voted, and I want Durant to win on the floor in OKC. That's what I want to see.
This is interesting because we all three have 3 different routes. I got you down for any, A-N-Y.
A-N-Y, I'm cool with it. I'm cool. I prefer that it's not Houston or Portland. I don't want to see the Spurs. You can put anybody in there, though. I don't care. I want the hot first round. I want the OKC butt kicking in the Western Conference Finals. And then you move on. We can figure all that out later. But that's where I stand right now. I want the Lakers in the first round.
My thing is, I have wavered a little bit because I would like to see them OKC play them, but not the championship.
The number's 888-957-9570. It's got to be addressed. That was a really quick flip flop.
That was
because I thought about Paul George and you brought it to my attention. So I would like to see that, but not the Lakers.
When I go flounder fish, we might as well be at Pike's Market in Seattle with the fish flying around. You're always quick.
Shout out Townsend. He caught the fish when he was up there not too long ago.
I got a fish for you?
Big fish, huge fish, tremendous fish.
Wet T-shirt Wednesday.
Phone lines are packed. I can't wait to hear this conversation. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour. Brian Baldinger coming up at 8:30 to talk NFL, getting you set for the championship round of the playoffs, which you can hear all that action here on 95.7 The Game. If you're listening, if you want to watch in person, join us at Hooters and Campbell. We'll all be down there this Sunday. Bring a pair of lightly worn or new shoes to donate to Goodwill of Silicon Valley. They're our partners in this endeavor. And we'll give you a T-shirt, the Agony of Defeat T-shirt that our good friends at Oaklandish have made up for us recently. They're awesome T-shirts. We're going to have a good time down there Sunday. We'd love to see you guys. But here's the question. Coming off last night's beatdown of the Denver Nuggets, if you could set the Western Conference playoffs any possible way for the Warriors, what 3 matchups would you want to see? It doesn't have to be the top 8 currently. You can extend outside of that. But what 3 matchups would you want to see for the Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs? 888-957-9570. We'll start with Sasha in Pacifica. Sasha, thanks for the phone call. Welcome to the program. The floor is yours.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
For me, the biggest thing is there's been this narrative since the Warriors started their whole run that, you know, we get to the finals because we get lucky with injuries. Our opponents were never quite up to it in the way they were supposed to be. So for me, the biggest thing is making sure they are 3 matchups to the finals, put that narrative to bed. So whichever 3 teams are the best at, you know, combating that are the 3 teams I want to see most. So the first 3 that come to mind would be the Lakers, for all the reasons you guys said before, with, you know, kicking LeBron's teeth in right off the bat.
Wow.
OKC, the whole, you know, Russ KD thing would be great to just emphasize that in a playoff series. And then I think we got to put the exclamation point on the matchup with Houston from last year.
All right.
Because, you know, all the things that people say with the Chris Paul injury and
Thank you, Sasha. That's
appreciate
right.
The phone call.
Exclamation points, what he's looking for, as opposed to last year's dot, dot, dot. Oh, if Chris Paul would have been healthy, it would have been totally different. That would be a good exclamation point.
It's like, how many times do you need an opportunity to beat the Warriors, though? Last year, that's the interesting thing. Everyone wants to complain. Well, if Chris Paul didn't get hurt, the Rockets would have won. Well, what about the year before and the first year when you guys met in the conference finals? The Rockets have had three opportunities in the playoffs over the last 4 years to take these guys out. They've lost every single one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.